This episode of Podnuts Pro was pre-recorded. Hello, everyone. Marvin B. here with yet another episode of Podnuts Pro, coming at you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And tonight, I'm going to be talking with one of the gentlemen that I met when I had gone to the SolarWinds Empower MSP conference in Orlando, Florida. We found ourselves a nice little group to hang out with up there. And so I met a couple of the gentlemen here. I'm going to try to get on the show and talk a little bit about their business and how they're supporting customers and keep that discussion going, because I think it's pretty important to know how others are running their businesses and being successful at it, because Lord knows we all want success. So if you had listened to my show from the conference where we did the street interviews, you'll recognize this gentleman, Matt Foreman, from the local circuit. Matt, thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Are you recovered from the Orlando experience?
Mentally, not physically.
I won't say what happened, but we had a night, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did.
So the conference was 2 days, Thursday and Friday in Orlando. And I believe my Friday night was, that was my entertainment limit for the year, I think.
Yeah, that tends to happen, I think, at those things. People kind of cut loose a little bit. Yeah. You got to make up for sitting in a chair all day.
That is true. That is true. But it was a great time, because we actually, while we were trying to have a little fun, we actually kept talking shop. And I believe, what was it, 1:30?
That it was, yeah, I think that's probably about the time we crawled back into the hotel.
And gentlemen, it wasn't, and ladies, it wasn't all about the fun. We actually talked a lot of shop, which was one of the reasons that I wanted to bring Matt on the show here. And Matt, so why don't we do this? Let's go back and do a quick introduction of you again and your business, and give us a little history of how you got into tech.
Okay. I mean, I own and run the local circuit. We're what I consider right now a hybrid shop. Do have a little break fix, and we do manage services, which to me is the core of what we do. It's what I like to do. I like helping small businesses with their technology and implementing it and increasing their business outcomes. My goal is to get us to 100% MSP. We're in a unique place in Denton where we have two major universities, so a never-ending flow of new customers coming in with the college kids and viruses and that kind of thing. So it's been hard to put the brakes on the break fix, because it's still, for us, still a profitable part of our business. But for me, my heart, where I want to be is helping a small business. So we're slowly migrating that direction.
I remember us talking about that and thinking it's hard to put college kids on a monthly service plan, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we have a residential plan. It's it's almost like a break off of our business plan, but we'll give them, you know, patch management, virus updates, things like that. We even throw in, you know, unlimited remote support. We've got a good number of people on there. I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but yeah, I mean, the break fix, I just think we're in a unique place to where staying hybrid works better for us at this point in time than being a full-on MSP. We don't have, there's not a lot of other shops in the area, and some of my bigger competition has pretty much primarily moved to MSP. Some of the other shops in town just haven't lasted and shut down. So we're an outlet there for people when there's really not anything else to go to. Several of the big places, the brick and mortar stores, Staples, Office Depot, all those guys, most of them have shut down. So we've got really our biggest competitors in the break fix market are the Geek Squad with Best Buy and whatever Office Depot has. So it's interesting. It's never a it's always funny seeing what they come in with, and a lot of broken screens from getting dropped and stepped on, and viruses over and over again. A lot of the work's routine, but again, that's business, and it's still profitable.
Yeah. Okay. So didn't mean to stop you there, but I wanted to get to the history of how you actually got started in tech.
I've been in tech, or been a techie, I guess, as long as I can remember.
Well, going back, came to out the womb with an iPhone in your hand or something.
Yeah, I came out with an iPhone. Yeah. I go back. I mean, I think my first computer was some people are going to be older than I am, but a Packard Bell 486, you know, still had to put the floppy drives in them to get the thing going.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm historically an avid gamer. So, I mean, I utilize them for that. I mean, doing the dial-up gaming between me and buddies back in high school and that kind of thing. But I was pretty much in IT. Once I got out of high school and went into college, that's pretty much what I did for a living. I worked for the state of Texas with the Texas Forest Service, doing some of their IT while I was putting myself through school, and worked there. I did a little stint as in the Geek Squad that I try to keep under wraps.
Get some emails about that.
But that's pretty much how I got started. Built most of my business IT knowledge there working for the state while I was in school. And once I got out of school, I ended up buying this company I'm at now and kind of built it to where it's at.
All right. So you bought the local circuit, because I looked it up on the website, it started the year after I started my business. I started mine in 97, and this started in 98. So was it a MSP when you got it, or how did that come to be?
No, it was the business as a whole has kind of shifted a couple times. The original business back in 98 was two guys, and I'm getting this information from the gentleman I bought it from, basically doing more hardware repair, motherboard level type stuff. And then they hired the guy that I bought it from as a technician, and then they eventually wanted to go do something else, and he took over and bought it from them. And he was a break fix shop, but also back in the early 2000s did a lot of the custom builds, had a big shop doing custom built machines for businesses and residential clients, and then that kind of faded out whenever you got too much competition from guys like Dell and whatnot, where you can just buy a computer online for next to nothing. So once that kind of fizzled out for him, he basically let all of his people go and ended up being just a one-man break-fix shop, just supporting himself. And that's kind of the position it was in when I took over. Wasn't doing real well, but I like a challenge, so I figured I could get in there and try to turn it around. And so far, we've been pretty successful with it.
All right. So when you took it over, I'm assuming that it took you a little bit of time to make a determination of which path to take.
It did. I thought for the longest time it was just going to be, I'll be a computer repair shop, I'll do it myself. That's the way it went for several years, just kind of continued on the path of what he had, kind of started picking up some of the, the time block type deals with a few people. And that kind of spun into where we're at now with the managed services. As I learned more about it, and the business aspect of it, I really like the monthly check every month instead of having to wait on the phone to ring. That appealed to me, being able to anticipate our income and have budgets and things like that, that you really just couldn't have if the phone wasn't ringing.
Right. So what was, I guess, the one thing that made the turn for you that you said nice to have that monthly income rolling in and not have to go chase it, but what was it that really triggered managed services for you?
I would say the clientele. I mean, it's a completely different world working for the students and the residential people compared to the businesses that need your IT support. I like that aspect of it better. I like being able to provide a service that helps them better their business. I think it's more of a challenge working with servers and VPNs and the security aspect of it over just the routine, system cleaning, LCD replacement, that type of thing. So that's what really kind of intrigued me and kind of started pushing us that way.
All right. So, well, I know that one of the things at the conference that we were at, there was, of course, let's go back and digress just a bit. The conference, in my opinion, it was a good conference for getting information out. They told us about their roadmap, you know, a sense of where they were since the SolarWinds acquisition, what things that they had on the horizon. One of the things that I was looking for a little bit more was probably from a technical perspective, but it seems as though we got more of that in the hallways in between the sessions. And I'm trying to remember if you were with us when we had talked to the gentleman that gave the automation presentation. Were you in that one?
I think I was there part of the time. I seem to remember being there at the beginning of that conversation, and I can't remember if I got a phone call or whatnot, but stepped off. But yeah, I completely agree that the technical aspect of this particular conference was a little lacking compared to what it has been historically.
Right. So where I was going to go with that thought pattern is, can you describe some of the things that you've implemented, you know, whether they're from SolarWinds or from any other product? We don't have to talk SolarWinds. But what is it in terms of managed services that you've actually implemented in your business?
We are primarily a SolarWinds shop. From email protection with their Mail Protect filter down to the RMM, we use their Take Control or MSP Anywhere as a side shot. We also have Screen Connect, and that kind of evolved from the mess from the Take viewer, Control to the MSP to take Anywhere. Control. Yeah, from yes. TeamViewer. Yeah. And I think Screen Connect's a great product, but at the same time, it doesn't give me that single pane of glass that I like. So it's kind of a different tab. As far as the RMM stuff, we use pretty much everything, web protection, the managed antivirus. Have a few of them running their managed online backup through the platform.
The mob.
Yep, up. And we use the DNS filter, which is kind of a competitor to OpenDNS. I find it it's much more affordable for us anyway. It's lacking in the fact it doesn't have an agent yet, but for laptops and mobile users, but that's going to be coming in the next couple months from a phone call I had with them actually today. So we do VoIP, and really the one thing that we're kind of lacking that I actually had a meeting with today is print services, trying to find those kind of solutions for the big Xerox or Ricoh style printers for our clients who may be looking for a new replacement or to add one to their shop.
So are you talking about just for the copy, or are you talking about overall network printing and managing that?
A little of both. That's something that we haven't done in the past. We've kind of stayed away from those besides just hooking them up and making sure they work on their network. So we're still exploring that that outlet as far as how we can be involved and how we can benefit our clients and us as a business to find the right fit for our clients.
Are you willing to mention who you met with today?
It is a Xerox partner, and they are actually local in our town, and I do not recall the name of the company off the top of my head, but I've got another phone call with them on Monday morning to see if we can find a way to partner up.
All right. So it's not Printer Logic. Does that sound
nope.
familiar?
Okay. Nope.
I met with them a while back. One of my larger law firms is looking at trying to manage their printers to curb their color cost overages that they're getting. we're talking thousands of dollars every quarter that they're getting charged because people can't default to black and white properly. So
yeah, we're a black and white shop only at our office. I don't even have a color printer.
Nice. So I was just interested because that is something I'm looking at. We're probably going to end up putting in our own print servers because that law firm still has a lot of on-premise stuff and they do a lot of stuff over VPN. So that's probably what we're going to do, because the Printer Logic solution, let's just ballpark it. Let's say $7,000 to $10,000, I believe, a year for that solution. So.
Well, okay.
But it's nice because you can, I don't know that it's necessarily completely cloud-based, but in terms of managing printers at remote locations, being able to put together almost like a group policy for print services, and I like the fact that basically we can have a user log in anywhere on the network at any location, at least from my perspective, across the state of Florida. Wherever they log in, their printers will follow them and be assigned to them, and and all of that. So that's what I like. So
nice.
If you find something, let me know.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely keep you updated.
So let's go back to, so you're primarily a solar wind shop.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, I mean, let's just ask the question everybody wants to know, you know, do you provide yourselves a bundle of services? Do you provide all you can eat services, a la carte? How do you do it?
We started off doing the all you can eat. I still have clients on it. I handpicked those people after an audit to be able to offer them that, just because I knew what I might be getting myself into. But we also have what we're doing now is basically one fee that's a bundled service that generally includes like their network security, managed firewall, email filter, and the MAV and the web protection, all that with unlimited support remotely. Or if they so choose, they can bring us their computer if something happens. If we come on site, then there's a fee for that. It's a discounted off of our normal hourly rate, but I find that to be one, easier on us because we want to take care of everything we can remotely before we roll a truck. It's just more cost effective for us. Also, on the flip side, I think the clients are less pushy to have us drop what we're doing and come out there instead of trying to do it remotely if they know they're going to have a little bit higher expenditure that month. So it kind of works out for us that way. And that's kind of where we're going forward. I'm not really offering the all you can eat anymore. Just but the people I have that are grandfathered into it, I'm going to keep there just because that's what they're used to. And so far, even offering the all you can eat come down ahead. Now, even on the all you can eats, we don't do it's a maintenance and repair package. You know, if there's a project with a start stop date, then that's not included. Server swaps, you know, infrastructure wiring, that type of thing, we don't include that in any of our plans.
All right. So sounds pretty similar to what I do most of the time. Mm-hmm. Like you, I do have some grandfathered clients that I'm waiting for them to head off to hospice. I guess is the way to describe it there. Okay, so basically, you know, your managed services, RMM, antivirus, web protection. Now, you mentioned DNS filter over OpenDNS, and I don't use, let me rephrase that. I have OpenDNS that I just basically set it and forget it on a couple of clients. Most of my filtering I'm doing through my firewall appliances. For people that, I know that a lot of people love OpenDNS. Are you familiar enough to say what the differences are in OpenDNS and DNS filter and why you picked DNS filter?
I mean, principally, I think they're the same. They accomplish the same thing. I think OpenDNS is very proud of their product, and it shows in what they charge on a monthly basis for it. One thing I like about DNS filter is they charge by requests. So I think it's, if my memory serves me correct, I think it's up to 1 million DNS requests per network only costs you $5 per network, but we are only using it as a layer to what we're already doing. So, you know, we'll have web protection. Our firewall appliances have it as well. And basically I'm just using it as a second layer to that with I'm not using it to block content filtering or anything like that. I'm basically have one rule set up in there, and that's to block malicious websites. So just as a secondary to, you know, if something happens and our firewall appliance doesn't have something in a database that they say is bad, then and DNS filter does, then we've got that layered protection there. You know, not all definitions are going to come out at the same time, the same place. So for me, everything we do is layered. And I think that's the only way you can approach it these days with, you know, the ransomware and things like that going on. So, but the biggest difference is basically that agent. DNS filter right now doesn't have an agent to put on a laptop if the laptop leaves the network, because we filter everything through DNS filter at the firewall level. So if they leave the network, then that layer goes away, but they still have like the web protection and things like that we have through our RMM. But like I said a little while ago, I think they anticipate having that agent out sometime in the next 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
So that'll be a big help for us.
All right. Not to hijack the show real quick, but I just want to let the listeners know, because people that have listened to me for a long time know that I don't do much editing. So you probably did hear a baby in the background. Everyone, please know Matt and I are recording this show in the evening from after hours, let's say, perspective. So,
yeah, I apologize for that. That's Benjamin, my 9-month-old, and he's got a little cold right now, so he's a little fussy.
And I also did that so that people know that, yeah, I don't have any kids, so that was not me hijacking a baby somewhere. All right, so, okay, so DNS filter. So the layered aspect, because I do that as well. Like I said, the ones I have the open DNS on, it's really for that. We block malicious sites, we block malware infected sites, and porn. Yes, we block porn. Just so we know. And then the actual web protection through Max Focus, I'm sorry, SolarWinds RMM is what we use to do that. And then the shops where I have the on-prem firewall appliances, SonicWall, WatchGuard, will also do some minimal blocking with there, which is the basic policy, like you said, to block the general malware stuff from everybody and then do the content filtering through the web protection. All right. So now that we've talked about that, let's talk about now you've got two shops and you've got a staff. And how many staff do you have for those two shops?
Well, actually, we're down to one shop now.
And
that was a strategic thing for us, mainly because we are on the hunt for a building of our own, our permanent home.
I remember that, yes.
And we figured saving some money on rent on a second shop, we can take that money and utilize a little bit better during that time. The reason we had to was basically because we split off our managed services from our shop. I wanted our business management stuff completely separate, so we're not dealing with the walk-in people and the salespeople and that type of thing. So we had two offices for about a year, and then we decided that it was time to get our own building. So we are all crammed back into our shop now. It's very tight quarters, but it's just for a limited amount of time until we can find that right spot. So, there's four of us. I have one technician currently that pretty much handles our entire repair shop. I've been pretty much hands off on the repair shop for the better part of 2 years. And then I have a technician who's really my right hand guy who handles any advanced stuff that may come into the shop or any questions that guy has or overflow or, you know, busy days. He'll kind of help out there, but he's primarily my systems tech for our MSP customers. And then there's myself, and then I have actually recently hired an admin. I don't really have a position name for her. She answers her phone calls, she is paying bills, she's sending out invoices, doing some of our social media, writing our blogs, just all that busy office work.
You hired a real admin.
So she's been very helpful and taking a lot of that busy work off of me, and giving me some free time to start developing new plans and trying to find new clients and that type of thing.
Okay. So let's talk about that real quick, because I think that there's a lot of techs that struggle with getting to the point where they can not only hire a tech, but hire that admin person. So how did you come to the point where you could hire, and by the way, when I said a real admin person, because most of the time techs hire somebody who, yeah, they'll answer phones, but they really can't do much more than that unless they, are shown how to input time for the tech and possibly send out invoices. I know I struggled for a long time with not being able to have somebody else send out an invoice unless I saw it and put it together myself and made all the corrections and stuff. But you've got this person doing social media. I mean, how did that, what was that process like?
I think hiring anybody is difficult. I mean, I'm sure anybody that's got employees or tried to find employees knows that finding good help is sometimes next to impossible. But hiring my first technician, I mean, that was a hard choice for me. My business is my baby. I like having my fingers in all over it, and giving up some of that responsibility to somebody else is definitely a challenge, especially someone you really just met, know through an interview, that type of thing. The tech I have now, he's been with me 3 years. He's great. Honestly, at this point in time, don't know if I could run my business without him. So I lean on him that much. Pulling in the admin, that was just a decision I made to free up not just my time, but my tech's time. So, I mean, she greets people when they come in the shop. She answers the phone. When she takes in a computer at the shop, if there's tech questions at that particular point in time, she'll grab the shop tech and come out. But if not, then she handles the check-in process and the pickup process, unless there's specific questions, freeing up my repair tech to just keep chugging away on the work and not have to deal with the sounds bad to have to deal with the customer service aspect of the residential part of it. But, you know, he's a tech. He needs to be back there producing. That's what I'm paying him for. So being able to separate that has given him more time to keep working and keep the workflow going. And it's also helped us on the business side, just not having to field the phone calls and that type of thing. And for me personally, it's, you know, I was struggling my way through doing the managed services and social media, trying to get blogs written every now and then, and, you know, maintaining the website, things like that. You know, it's just not enough hours in the day to get it all done. So, you know, it's, you get to that point as a business owner where it's, you know, you either have to do it or you just get overwhelmed. It took a little bit of finances to get it done, but it's paying off because, you know, we're already being able to pick up new clients, and it's given me the time to get out there and, you know, do the networking and things like that that I really needed to be doing for so long that I just didn't have time to do. Especially, you know, when you're a one-man shop, you have to try to do it all, and it's just, you just can't sometimes. So it was a big decision to hire both those positions. Sometimes that's a little hit to your pocketbook, but you got to take that little ding to make it bigger sometimes. We took a chance. It's a new position, the admin one. I think she's been with us a couple months now. So it's starting to pay off. Even before she came on full time, she was doing part-time work, kind of remotely doing some of the managed services. So she's just kind of weaned herself into that job. That way, when she came on, there was less training and whatnot. Right. So okay. Kind of a perfect fit for us.
All right. So I'm going to go down a rabbit hole. And I'll try not to go too far, but I'm sure once you hear me ask the question, you'll know exactly where I'm going with this. But do you take a personal interest in your admin's life? Like, do you do more than say hello to her when you come into the office, and do you kind of know what's going on, you know, to make sure she's a good employee and that she'll stay?
Yeah. Yes. You know, I think you have to do that for every employee, not just that one position. Me personally, I consider my staff family. We go out and hang out outside of work because I want to be not necessarily like involved in their life, but know what's going on, you know. To the point to where I take, as a business owner, take pride in the fact that my business is helping, not just providing a job, but it's giving those people a paycheck, and with that they're feeding their family and that type of thing. I think there's more to just being a business owner than saying I'm a business owner. I like being able to help people in that particular aspect, but I think you have to. I think you have to take a limited role. In all of your employees. I mean, I think there become a point to where it's harder to do that as you grow. But for us, I mean, we go out every couple of weeks. I mean, I'll take them to dinner. We went to a hockey game a few weeks back, you know, and just get out of the office, get to know your people. I think it develops a relationship and a rapport even in back that comes back into the office and helps you work together, especially for us, since we're all crammed in a small office right now. If we don't know when we're stepping on somebody's toes, it could get bad. But I definitely think that there's more to the employer employee relationship than just that.
All right, I wanted to ask that question for two reasons, and one was that a lot of techs that I know are either in the process of hiring their first tech, or they're going through the merry-go-round of technicians and or office staff, and trying to get that balance of being the boss and being somebody that can hang out, you know, enough with your staff to where they feel comfortable. So I just wanted to get that out. So that's part one. Part two is our Z man, and he knows who he is. So, all right, let's move on. So we talked a little bit about the business aspect there, and I wanted to get into that because I think it's important for other techs to hear how people run their business. Mm-hmm. And your business has been around a while. You didn't start it, but you bought it and you're growing it. And I mean, so much to the point where you're thinking of buying a building. How many techs actually think about buying a building?
Yeah, it's been a big, big decision for us. I mean, there's some people think renting is better, but I think making that investment into my business, not just my business, but the community we're in, making a permanent presence, is a big step to getting us to that next level.
Okay. Now, are you going to buy a building or are you going to buy a piece of land and build? Do you have that? How much of a framework do you have in mind on the building you're going to have?
My goal is to buy a building, but I haven't ruled out buying a chunk of land and building something on it. If we went that route, it would end up being something to where I built something that would house us and have enough room to lease out to other people. Sure, happy to have somebody else pay my mortgage for me if I can. So, we're looking around. I haven't had anything had a couple things. I take that back. That piqued my interest, but they kind of got beat to the punch on them. So, but we'll find that perfect spot.
Was it Chip and Joanna Gaines buying buildings in your home area?
Yeah, flipping them.
So I got lucky because we're renting. I don't know if I'm gonna buy, but I don't know if I can do any better than 900 feet from my house.
No, that's I'm about a 10-minute drive, but you got me beat there.
10-minute drive. I have a 10-minute walk if I no, it's less than that. I haven't timed my walk. I'll have to do that. Okay, so anything else that you can think of from a business perspective in terms of, you know, maybe tips that you want to throw out there or, you know, stories that have, you know, recently shaped, you know, something, whether it's a funny story or a learning experience, roaches in computers, anything like that?
Roaches, man, we've had roaches. We've had snakes. Cat ladies, those are the worst in my opinion. I mean, we've had computers in the shop that you've had to, as soon as they leave, you wrap it and double wrap it in a trash bag because it stinks so bad. But and that's another reason for me to move away from the repair shop. Business wise, I mean, for me, it's you know, like I said, it's so into your, you know, if you have them, so into your employees. I think that I can't stress that enough. I mean, even from just my experience, having those people there that you can lean on is huge. Just being able to, you know, I do a lot of traveling with some of the other things that I'm involved in, and you've got to have that trust factor there to leave your business in the hands of people, especially when you're out of the country and out of cell range.
Did you say out of the country?
I'm sorry?
Did you say out of the country?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where do you go out of the country?
I do... kind of my side project is I am involved with drilling water wells in third world countries. We do water filtration, kind of some microfinance projects and things like that. Kind of got started with that back in 2009. I went to Kenya for the first time to help build out a technical school, a computer repair school at a technical school, and it just kind of spun from there. Spent 2 weeks over there building a computer lab, teaching the computers, or not the computers, teaching the teachers what to teach, took them a bunch of textbooks. It was interesting because they seem to be about 5 years behind where we're at tech-wise. So the questions they had and the things they were working on were older. So it was kind of eye-opening to see what they were doing and where they stood as far as their computer. You know, the stuff we're starting to recycle these days are the stuff that a lot of these people that I dealt with over there are just getting their hands on. So it was interesting.
So Windows XP machine still.
Yeah. So I'm out of the country sometimes two or three times a year for a week to 2 weeks at a time. And that just for me stresses the importance of having a staff there that I can count on. It took me a long time. I've gone through several technicians. Some have been great and moved on to other things. Some have been a huge mistake on my part. Second time I went to Africa, I came back. I lost contact with him while I was over there, and I came back and there was just a note on his desk that says I can't work here anymore, and he was gone. Happened to take my entire client list with him and tried to recruit some clients while I was gone. And so there's a trust factor there that you just got to have when you're a business owner.
There you are over there trying to do something good and come back to something bad.
That's all right. A quick letter from my lawyer shut him down pretty quick. So
there you go. The importance of having an attorney. Actually, you know, I probably should have asked you that, because one of the things that I think people struggle with getting into the managed services is the idea of putting together a contract. And I know that with some of the HIPAA stuff that I've been dealing with, I'm starting to have an attorney look at everything that we're doing to make sure that, you know, how close to compliant are we and how close are we going to get our customers to compliance. But in terms of what you're doing, I don't know if you're doing any medical or not, but how important is it to have contracts and things like that in place, not only for, you know, the situation you ran into with your tech, but your business in terms of how you interact with your clients?
You know, I may differ from a lot of people on this subject. I don't personally like contracts. I have an agreement with my clients. I'm one of those guys, I'd rather do business over a handshake, just the way I am. But I do understand that it's business, so we have to do that. So I don't call my stuff contracts. I just call them agreements. I kind of put everything I wanted in it, and I did give it to an attorney, and they did their thing with it and gave it back to me. So I have the same agreement I have with all my clients. They all sign the same piece of paper. And there's no time limit on it. There's no annual contract. There's no, you're going to do business with me for, you know, 24, 36 months. I want my clients doing business with us because they want to do business with us, not because they're, you know, signatures on a piece of paper. So I like that aspect of it. It's helped me get several clients because they like that approach. And it also keeps us on our toes. I'm not able to, or my staff's not able to fall back on, you have a, you know, response time of X and I've got to get to that. We now don't have to worry about that. We're on the ball. We want to make sure our clients are happy all the time. So we're not falling back on anything and doing just the least amount of work. This, I think for me, this keeps not just me, but my staff, you know, on top of things. But as far as legal stuff with my employees, they all have no compete agreements. They all have non-disclosure agreements as far as things they see and do, not just at our shop, but at our clients' offices. And they all have non-disclosure of trade secrets, how we run our business and the things we do internally. That's all falls under that as well. So just kind of helps, you know, not that I've had it happen, but it helps if, you know, get somebody that's poached by a client or competitor, that type of thing. Not that it won't stop anybody from talking, but I think it's all got to be there just as a principle.
Right.
As far as HIPAA, I honestly right now don't touch it. I don't touch anything medical. I know there's money to be made there. It's for me, it seems like not just with this business, but another business I owned, which was a high volume that we did like document scanning, converting paper to digital. And we did a lot of that for the medical field as well. So I've got a lot of experience dealing with medical offices and doctors. And it seems like a lot of the younger doctors are already coming out digital. The middle guys are the ones having to shell out the money. And the old guys are just, you know, I'm just going to retire because it's not worth spending money to get all this stuff done anyway and hitting retirement. So, and the ones that I've bid out and the ones that I've been on and done audits and things like that, they have a hard time accepting the fact that they're not HIPAA compliant on the things we find and not wanting to spend money on those things to get them fixed. And with the new rules and the BAA agreements and the things like that, that make us just as responsible for the most part as they are. I'm just not going to put myself or my business in that that predicament if the doctor doesn't want to do something that I tell them to do, that they need to be HIPAA compliant, and then they get in trouble for it, and then it falls back on us because they didn't do it. I just don't like that. I mean, I want to work with people that basically trust our advice and want to use technology to improve their business. I'm not bashing doctors by any means. It's just from what I've seen, it's just been a real struggle getting those guys, at least in our area, to jump on board with that. So we've just kind of taken a step back for now. I don't think it's always going to be that way, but we're just kind of focusing on other areas at the moment.
All right. So, yeah, I've struggled with that as well, but I do have medical clients, and I put them in the same category as attorneys, where attorneys are 70% of my business. So they were quite slow in the realm of technology many, many years ago. I'm sure you remember law firms that, you know, in the 2000s were still running WordPerfect 4.2 DOS. And that was fun. But going back to the question that I asked you about the attorney, I am so glad that you went exactly where I wanted you to go, because I do remember while we were at the conference, we had a mini discussion where we talked about contracts, this and that. And I remember distinctly you making the distinction that, yes, you had the agreements. Yes, you had everything in place, but you liked doing business with people that you could shake hands with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a Texas thing, but I, in Florida, I like that. Don't get a lot of that, but I also don't call anything contracts. Everything's a monthly service agreement. In any given month, if you don't like us or if we don't like you, we can, you know, hopefully shake hands and say goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the way I like it. I mean, like I said, I think it keeps us on our toes. It also gives us the out of, if we don't like you for whatever reason, or you're just not a good fit for us, then we can go our separate ways. I think firing a client is probably the first time I had to do it, one of the hardest business decisions, because as much of a pain that they were, that monthly check was still nice. But it just got to the point of, is it worth it? Is it, you know, they were one of those people that called about every little problem, even when it wasn't a problem, and asking for stuff that really exceeded what our agreement was. But I tell you what, I mean, after I did it, it was nice. It felt great to be able to tell them no.
A little liberating afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Not waking up with that stress of, oh, I got to deal with this client today.
Right. And that's really where we are right now with our MSP. I'm to the point now to where I've gotten kind of picky about my clients. I won't take on just anybody. And I didn't do that for the longest time. And I think that's where you get your headaches and these problem childs that kind of drive you insane. But at the same time, when you're building your business, that might not be a choice for you. But we're to the point now to where, you know, if I go out and audit somebody or just meet with them for the first time, I'll ask them, you know, certain questions that come to mind to kind of get a feel for, you know, if they're going to be a good client, are they somebody who wants to invest in technology to improve their business, or are they that person that's still running Windows 2000 and it's still running great for them and they have no interest in doing anything about it? So
2000, yeah, you know, I had an interview with a potential customer that they're still running two Windows 2003 servers. And I think that one of the reasons that I got to go on this interview is because the tech that they have is leaving. And I'm thinking that part of the reason he's leaving is because they're still on 2003.
Yep, they can force you out pretty quick whenever they just refuse. So,
yeah. All right. Well, Matt, might as well. I think this is a good wrapping point. We've had a nice chat here. I think we've hit on just about everything I wanted to hit on. Is there anything else that you can think of to throw in the mix and say to the listeners before we end off here?
No, I've enjoyed the conversation and chatting. I appreciate you having me on. I think that's about it.
All right. I do want to thank you. I think that you were one of the people I enjoyed hanging out with there in Orlando. And I do look forward to the next conference that we're able to get to together, whether it's SolarWinds or any of the other conferences. Look forward to keeping in touch and speaking with you again.
I appreciate it.
All right, folks. And with that, we are going to end off this episode of PodNuts Pro. Be sure to head over to the network and support the PodNuts crew. We've got plenty of shows over there, everything from Android App Addicts to Sports Nuts. Support our friend Door-to-Door Geek and his efforts to spread the tech love there. While you're on the PodNuts page, head over to the right to the Support PodNuts section and then give either a one-time donation or a monthly. The shows we do here are free, and I'm sure you can tell that by the production level, but we are doing this out of the kindness of our hearts, wanting to keep the tech movement going, help each other out, learn things, and that's what we're going to do. If you want to email the show here, send your email to marvin@podnuts.com and be looking out, folks, on social media. I am there trying to do stuff. I've got a nice little Twitter feed we've got going back in action at PodNuts Pro. And that's it. So thank you once again to Matt Foreman for coming out. And be listening for the next episode of PodNuts Pro. And until next time, holla. If you own a business, no matter how big or small, email hackers and scammers are coming after you. AppRiver can make your company a much harder target. They have affordable services like spam and virus filtering, email encryption, and web threat protection to keep you safe. They also back their services with live 24/7 US-based support at no additional charge. Try AppRiver services free for 30 days by visiting appriver.com/podnutspro.